Joining us this morning to talk about the wilderness, is it disappearing? The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, celebrating 25 years of protecting land to ensure the future of wildlife. And joining us is the president of the Wildlife Land Trust's board, Andrew Rowan. Good morning, Andrew. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So the Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, for the last 25 years, what has it been doing? Collecting land, creating sanctuaries? Tell us what it's been up to over these past 25 years.
Yes, basically that's what we have been doing, is getting people who want to have their land protected and want to have the animals on the land protected. And so we have been booking both conservation easements. These are properties where we don't actually own the property, but we monitor an easement on the property so you can't do certain things on it. And then we do have fee title lands, but these are lands that we own. And we've got about 20,000 acres currently protected across the country.
But it says here that in the United States, 6,000 acres of wilderness disappear each day. What impact is it having on the wildlife?
Well, I mean, one of the sort of startling numbers that I came across recently was that when you look at mammals across the world and sort of calculate how much the weight of those total mammals are, only 4% of mammalian terrestrial mammals are wild. The rest are humans or domestic animals, cows, pigs, and dogs, and so on. And so it's just a startling number. In fact, that's down from about 10%, which was still pretty low at the turn of the 1900s. So, I mean, we're losing more and more of our wild mammals, and there's no wonder that they're going extinct at the rate they are.
Andrew, how do you come up with 6,000 acres per day disappearing?
This is a number that we've been quoting for some time. Basically, you look at how much land is being built upon, how much land is being used in development and things of that nature. And there are a lot of acres in the United States, and so 6,000 acres per day is a relatively small percentage of the total area. But nonetheless, you know, we try to provide a statistic that people can get their arms around, and maybe 6,000 acres is a little too large to get your arms around, but it gives you an idea of how much land is being developed every day. You know, I mean, we have stuff going on, for example, in Florida, the gopher tortoise. Whenever you build a new mall or a new building, housing estate, you find that these gopher tortoises lose the land, and they either get concreted over, in which case they die, or the land goes away and they don't have habitat on which to live. And so you see the gopher tortoise numbers in Florida declining dramatically. So there are too many of us, and we consume a lot, and as a result, there's far less space for the wild animals.
What makes a good wilderness, or is it, I mean, I don't think all land is not created equal, so what do you look for, or is anything that really is undeveloped suitable for something?
No, I mean, you know, we're relatively small. 20,000 acres in the context of the United States is not a lot of land, but we do have national aspirations, and so, we do have ambitions to help out. And one of the issues here is you've got quite a lot of national forests, you've got quite a lot of natural land around the country, but a lot of it is fragmented. And especially when you're talking about the bigger animals, the bears and the mountain lions and creatures like that, they need connected spaces. And so if you go out to, say, Montana and look at the landscape around you, you'll see that there are these mountain areas that are relatively natural, and then between them is farmland. Well, the problem there is that you may have a grizzly bear on one mountain area, but it can't really get to the other mountain area because the farmland separates it. Roads especially are particularly problematic for wildlife. They tend to sort of stay away from major highways, and so you've got a freeway running through the system that will basically divide the land. And so what we're trying to do is talk about connectivity, trying to connect up these areas, trying to get, you know, so maybe we buy 100 acres or protect 100 acres between two mountain ranges. That would be very valuable because it would then connect the mountain ranges and you'd have more landscape for the wildlife.
Now, once you acquire the land, or I should say it is entrusted to you, what responsibilities does the your group have? What do you do, and do you visit these places? How do you keep them up or whatever?
Yeah, well, we have a rather daunting task because we're the only National Land Trust, one of only two, actually, that say no hunting, no trapping, commercial hunting or recreational hunting on our lands. And so that's not an easy thing to monitor, but we do try to make sure that we get to all the lands at least once a year, make sure that there's no development, no untoward activity on them, and then we have volunteers that we're training to try and get them to sort of visit the land more often. Of course, now with new technology, you know, the drone technology has taken off. We're looking at whether or not we can use technology to monitor the lands or put up a solar-powered camera that will help us to sort of protect the land as well. So these are the sorts of things that we're looking at. But it's a daunting prospect because when we take the land on, we say it's permanent. Well, permanent's a long time. So we hope we're still around in 100 years' time to keep everything hunky-dory.
Andrew, do you have a favorite place to visit?
Well, we've just taken on a piece of land as an easement down in San Diego County, and I personally come from South Africa. I grew up in a place called Western Cape, where there is one of the five floral kingdoms of the world is there, and that type of ecology is also present in Southern California. And so walking up the valley of this 750-acre reserve, it just made me feel I was back home as a boy back in Cape Town, and walking up the mountainside there, it's wonderful terrain. It's dry, but this particular piece of property had a permanent river running through it, ran down into the desert where it disappeared, of course. But, I mean, it's just lovely countryside, and you feel, you know, This is where we need to protect the space for the animals.
It almost seems that emotional connection is maybe why a lot of people will give over that land who have this property at some point, thinking, I want somebody to keep it the way I remember it to be or the use that it had from a generation prior. Do you find that to be true?
Very true. I mean, you know, a lot of people sort of say, wait a minute, I grew up on this land, or I've been part of this for the last 30 years. I don't want it to change. And I especially want to make sure that it's available for the wild creatures that live on it. So that's the type of sentiment that we find. And so, you know, I mean, if people are interested, they should go to our website and wildlifelandtrust.org and get in touch with us, and we will see what we can do to help them.
Wildlifelandtrust.org. I'm looking at that right now. I can see the map of the United States and all the different locations, even a few here in the state of Ohio. Andrew Rowan, our guest, the president of the Wildlife Land Trust Board of Directors and Chief Scientific Officer for the Humane Society of U.S. Thanks for sharing your time this morning and getting the word out about this. Appreciate
it. My pleasure, and thanks for having me.
Thanks.